This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast on cowboys and aliens and Indians, but that wasn't the time.
Mars, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars or drive them old trucks. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mars, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love.
Hello, welcome to a special edition iFanboy podcast on cowboys and aliens. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
And Paul Montgomery.
Yeehaw.
Normally we talk about the comics of the week, but today we're talking about Cowboys and Aliens, the latest in a long line of comic book movies that came out this summer. I think we got one more to go after this. The long marathon will be over. Cowboys and Aliens is based on a little-known independent comic book. I bet most people didn't even know this was a comic book-based film.
Yep.
But it was.
Years ago. The book came out in the late 90s, right?
Oh, yeah. I haven't. I haven't read it yet.
It was, yeah, so it was published by Platinum Studios, and some names that you might recognize in comic books today worked on it, like Mr. Fred Van Lente and Dennis Calero, amongst others. And it has been in Hollywood development for a very long time.
Yeah.
And somehow, some satanic ritual worked, and they got Jon Favreau to direct it, and Steven Spielberg to executive produce it, and Harrison Ford to star in it, Daniel Craig, and now it came out this past weekend. So there you go. Comic book movie magic can happen.
So we're a week behind, as we told you last time, with Captain America because of Comic-Con. It threw everything off a week. So this movie actually came out last week, and we'll talk about the business at the end, but let's talk about what we thought of it. Paul, you saw it early. You wrote the review on iFanboy. What did you think?
I think the crux of my review basically is that the closer the movie is to the cowboy side of the spectrum, the more fun I had with it and the more conflicted I was when it was towards the alien side of the spectrum. Though, when the needle was completely in the middle between cowboys and aliens, there was some magic going on. But otherwise, I thought it was a really good Western that aliens sort of invaded, and I kind of got a little.
Well, I love the idea of, you know, of alien invasion during Old West times when the concept of aliens is completely not in their lexicon.
So they don't say aliens at all. They don't say outer space or anything like that.
They call them demons. And then at some point when it's revealed to them, they say just we're from a place above the stars. So that's about as far as people can wrap their brains around.
So I thought that was really, really kind of fascinating in terms of a concept. I kind of wish I hadn't read your review and talked about it with you, Paul, going into it. Because I had that in the back of my mind. It's okay. That when it was cowboys, basically what I took from what you said is when it was on the cowboy side, it was really good. But the more aliens got in, it didn't get as good. Because I see what you mean by that, but I didn't wholly agree with that. I thought that the balance was all right. Ultimately, I thought the movie was good, not great. It was enjoyable. I didn't hate it, but it wasn't like, oh my god, I'm gonna run and go see it again.
Yeah. And I had a fun time.
Yeah.
I can't imagine like buying it. I can imagine if it's on HBO, flipping over to see what part it's at.
Yeah.
And seeing if I, you know, that's a part I like. It was fun. It was not, you know, I think the problem with the movie was the really high expectations of Jon Favreau and Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And I don't believe Harrison Ford's ever done a Western before, but he's basically turned into a cowboy in his older.
And don't get me wrong. Harrison Ford again proves that he's fantastic.
I thought he was really fun in it. I thought it was the best performance from him since like Air Force One, which was in the 90s.
Yeah.
He was perfect for the role of Woodrow Dollarhide, the sort of bad guy, rich guy in the area who has to team up with the good guy to fight the aliens. I thought conceptually it's like 30 Days a Night. It's kind of a story where you're like, wow, why hasn't anybody done this before?
Yep.
Why hasn't anyone tried alien invasion in a time where, you know, there's no technology, no one even knows what aliens are, and go from there.
It's a great concept, but I mean, it's funny because when the movie started, as the opening credits were rolling, my immediate thought was, my God, is there anyone who didn't work on this movie?
Yeah, like, there's a lot of names in there. Steven Spielberg,
Jon Favreau, Damon Lindelof. it had like 90 producers.
That's part of the reason why, and it's into the business side, that it's being looked upon as a failure because it was in development for so long. What people don't realize is the budget for the movie isn't just the budget for shooting the movie. It's for the development also.
Yeah.
So the budget is so high in this movie that it didn't debut a huge number that it's already looked upon as a huge bomb.
Right. Yeah. Business side, I mean, it tied, which I find hysterical, the Smurfs. I actually saw a funny tweet from Fred Van Lente over the weekend where he said, I told them to call it Cowboys and Smurfs. But, and for those who, you know that Van Lente and Clara and other people were involved, like, from what we understand, I mean, that was work for hire work that they did years ago, and there's no involvement on the movie part, you know, so from their part. So if you didn't like it, don't blame them or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's just an example of, you know, Platinum Studios has been one of those independent creators that has been very clear about their, you know, developing intellectual property and trying to do movies. This is seen as, you know, kind of okay. They got a successful one. And you know, the thing is, it tied for the top of the box office, but $36 million compared to Captain America 68 and all the other movies. You know, so it didn't blow the doors off. But it didn't. I don't think it bombed like it was like nobody went to go see it. You know,
the expectation was much higher. So in that sense, it's a bomb if it goes below what they're predicting, which was in the 45 to 50 range.
Yeah.
So here's the story. The story is Daniel Craig's Jake Lonergan wakes up in the middle of the desert, doesn't know who he is. He's got this metal thing attached to his arm, beats up some scalper bounty hunter guys who try to arrest him, walks into town, has a drink, gets arrested because he's a wanted man, runs into trouble with Harrison Ford's kid. And while he's in jail, while he's being transported to the federal marshals because he's wanted fugitive, the aliens attack, and he finds out his little piece of jewelry is a laser gun, and he shoots down one of the alien ships. Basically, from there on, a bunch of people in the town get abducted by the aliens, and it's a race to find the alien ship to save the people from the town and destroy the aliens. And that's really about this. That's really the story. There really isn't much more than that. It's I thought there were segments in the middle that were a bit slow.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It slowed down. The pace of the movie for me was the one thing I struggled with the most was that, you know, like the movie opened with, you know, a great fight sequence, you know, Daniel Craig fighting and honestly, like, I don't watch the Bond movie, so I've never, you know, so aside from Layer Cake, I haven't seen Daniel Craig in a movie in years. Yeah. And so it was great to see him, you know, kind of form that character, and you get the idea he's amnesia and he doesn't know where he is, who he is, and he's got this thing and the fight. And then, you know, they go into the town and there's a great, you know, Old West kind of standby, kind of face off kind of thing. And he gets involved in it. And then the aliens attack. And like the first third of the movie, I was there. I was in it. And then and then the moment that, you know, Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford and all the other folks, who, by the way, just quickly, I love Sam Rockwell.
Yes.
Love Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell as the
not, saloon owner.
Yeah, saloon owner, but also kind of milquetoast saloon owner. You know, that has no respect.
Because it's a reined in Sam Rockwell, especially from Iron Man 2.
Yeah, but still, it was still great. It was still really good. But when they all decide to posse up and go after the aliens, like that middle third was just slow as molasses. It was just so slow.
Yeah, I agree with you. The first third, the last third were fun. The middle third could have been tightened up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
it's tough because you have a lot of really appealing actors in this movie. And there's a lot, even in small supporting roles, there's a lot of really appealing actors. So it was
That's
a lot
draw.
Of fun to be with them. But story-wise, it wasn't the strongest. You know, you definitely cannot look at it too logically because it starts, it falls apart. The aliens would have totally destroyed the Cowboys in that fight at the end. Right. But
I do got to admit that in the middle scene, so what happens is that, they assume that because Daniel Craig has this wrist bracelet weapon thing, that he's got some knowledge, and Olivia Wilde, the girl kind of character,
Ella,
yeah, she's the one who, she's very insistent on the fact that he knows where they are and stuff like that. And so the scene where they get his memory back by meeting up with Indians and having him take peyote, I was laughing more than I was sucked in. Like, I was like, of course he's going to go on a peyote trip to unlock his memories. It was a little, and then of course it culminated in my favorite moment of Olivia Wilde soothing him, going, "It's not your fault," like Good Will Hunting. but once you got through that, I thought I thought the merging of the posse with the Indians was good. I thought that was well done. It gave a lot more insight to Harrison Ford's character and the nature of the time of the cowboys and the Wild West and that sort of thing.
I also liked the showing up of Jake's gang and
I didn't have a problem with that. I did more of amusing observation. So in as they're going towards the aliens, they run into this gang of criminals who apparently Daniel Craig's character Jake used to lead. And he betrayed them. He double crossed them to get a bunch of gold to go run off with the woman that he loved. That's basically his backstory. Yep. And then so they're going after the aliens, and basically they lose all of Harrison Ford's men, and they're down to they were down to like five people, right? The posse wasn't that very large. They team up with these Indians, but then Daniel Craig goes off and recruits basically the gang to have thing. And then they plan this frontal assault on the aliens. They find their base, and they're going to go attack them. And basically, as far as I can tell, the plan was to throw the criminals as fodder.
Yes, basically.
I was like, this doesn't seem like a good deal for them at all.
I don't think they were told the deal.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they were just told, run, fight these things, and we're going to be back here.
And I shouldn't laugh at the I'm not cruel to animals or anything like that. But when the aliens were attacking out on the open range, and the alien explosions were happening, you just saw horses flying in the air, I kind of laughed.
you kind of have to make a little bit of your own fun with the movie, because it's not the funniest script. And that kind of threw me a bit, because I was expecting something like Iron Man or Iron Man 2, with Favreau at the helm of this thing. And it's sort of, you get a little bit restless when it's not an action sequence, because they're not joking around that much. And, there's the scalping and, racial prejudice kind of thing, and the tensions there, and, aliens ripping organs out of people. So it's not the lightest kind of movie.
It's definitely a different tone than you're used to from Favreau, whose sensibilities usually has a lot of comedy in it.
Oh, yeah, there was barely any comedy. There was, maybe a couple chuckles here and there, but, and some of the violence was, the basically the end fight with the aliens was downright brutal. I mean, it was, there were bodies flying all over the place and people getting bit into and things like that. What did you guys think of the aliens themselves?
The difference here between the original comic and the movie, in the comic, these are speaking characters. They're actually individual villains.
Yeah.
And for a while I preferred this, where they were anonymous and they were just sort of aliens that dropped out of the sky and you don't get to see them very well. But then when they're just bodies being thrown at the other bodies, it's that sort of Transformers problem where you can't tell the difference between the bad guys.
Well, I mean, it could have been intentional, because to these cowboys they were just sort of faceless big giant creatures that came at them out of nowhere, and they didn't have any concept of them. So I mean,
but then there's also aside from the scarred alien, the one who had Daniel Craig on the table, there's no sort of hierarchy. Mm-hmm. So it's just a bunch of grunts. So it's sort of so I guess it's sort of it's more of a disaster movie where it's fighting one kind of threat than it being a real big alien presence. But so there wasn't a huge antagonist for them, a single presence.
Yeah, it was just more as the threat of aliens. Although I thought they did do a good job of giving a plausible reason for the aliens to be there. The aliens were after gold for some reason.
That was my favorite part,
yeah,
which is that they were gold rustlers, basically. Because that's often the point of many cowboy movies is somebody's stealing somebody else's gold or yeah. somebody's trying to get the gold. And this is – the cowboys are here for our gold.
Yeah.
So that made it – I kind of laughed at that because
– gave some kind of sinister suspicions about those cash for gold commercials.
Yeah.
behind it. So.
But the capturing of humans and then then I guess they were experimenting on them or whatever. I mean, I know they explained it, to a certain degree, but I thought that was the most stretch of it. But even then, it was like, okay, cool, I get it. I never questioned why the aliens were there or what the conflict was. And ultimately, the effects were badass. The ship was cool. The little flying ships were cool. The big alien ship was cool. On paper, I don't have a lot to complain about other than that middle portion. But again, I agree with you, Connor. I'm not going to buy this on DVD.
Yeah. I'll check it out on TV again because Harrison Ford is really charming in it. It was nice to see him as a bad guy. Because I know he's very protective of his image.
Yeah.
He doesn't like playing those kind of roles, but there's a little bit of a redemption for his character, by the end.
He's kind of grandfatherly, too, with the kid.
Yeah.
I
thought he had a good relationship, and he did a really good job of the arc of his character, where he starts off as a sort of an asshole. He's torturing – the first time we meet him, he's torturing someone. And then by the end, he's made peace with his surrogate son. He's come around on his kind of – troublemaker son, and he's sort of a town, I guess this is spoiler warning. He's sort of town. He's not, instead of terrorizing the town, he's sort of embraced the town and the town.
Yeah, basically the town that this all takes place in was very down on their luck, and Harrison Ford's cattle business ruled, and they got away with whatever they wanted. But now that they've discovered all this gold and they defeated the aliens, the town really came together. Everyone kind of bonded. They went through this horrible life experience, and you get the sense that it's a bright future ahead of them, and all kind of past conflicts have kind of the between the sheriff and Harrison Ford, everything's been settled, and you're like, okay, cool, it's a happy ending. But it was a happy ending, but it was also one that I didn't care about. And Daniel Kirk rides off into the sunset to go who knows where,
That was a little ambiguous. I don't know is he sticking around or is he going somewhere? They don't make it terribly clear. He just rides off.
Yeah, he had to leave because he's wanted still.
I do have to. Oh, no, they addressed that because they said he's.
Well, they're going to tell people he died.
Yeah.
It's
not going to recognize him.
Yeah.
But I do have to admit that with the combination of Harrison Ford and the Indians cheering when they defeated the aliens reminded me ever so lightly of the ending of Return of the Jedi. Because Harrison Ford got that at one moment, he got that half grin that he used to do as Han, which he doesn't do. I haven't seen him do in years, and
he's been miserable for years.
Yeah, exactly. And even at the end, when he said to Daniel Craig, he's like, I could use a good man around here. I'm like, wow, I got a real Han vibe off of him.
Yeah.
And for some reason, and then the combination of the Indians cheering and they're defeating this big thing and the explosion in the sky. Like, I was like, this is very Star Wars.
Plus plus the stormtroopers, which came at the end totally out of nowhere.
It was a lot, yeah.
I liked first of all, I didn't even notice Daniel Craig wasn't speaking in a British accent because he was speaking so low and gravelly for a half an hour. And then I went, oh, wait a minute, he's not even speaking in an accent because you could barely hear him, which was part of the character. But I liked little touches like when Daniel Craig rescues Ella from the aliens, they fly on top of the ship and they crash and they said, humans have never flown at that point. Right, so they were like, we just flew in the air. Let's never do that again.
Yeah.
I mean, just you have to kind of play with those ideas if you're going to mash up the genres like that. And it was successful. It wasn't overly successful. It was,
I think it's just a lot of it is sort of elevated, and it was maybe generous in my review, but I did have some fun with it, and I think a lot of it is elevated with the casting. You've got Clancy Brown in there for playing the creature. Keith Carradine. I always love seeing Keith Carradine playing a sheriff.
Keith Carradine's when am I going to do another Western? Who's shooting Western?
Yeah, Walton Goggins is in there.
I love Walton Goggins' character. He was the right-hand man sort of to the old gang. And
you're always my favorite.
Oh, he was great.
I like that line. That was a good line.
And sexy teacher from Mad Men.
That was her. I thought it was, yeah. It was driving me crazy the whole movie. Like, where have I seen her? And then I'm like, is she the school teacher? And she was. Okay, good.
Yep.
Who was there was the actor in the beginning of the movie who got drunk. He's somebody.
He's Toby Huss.
Yeah.
He was in Carnival, and he was Artie, the strongest man in the world.
That's what he was on Pete and Pete.
The Adventures
right?
of Pete and Pete.
I thought that was Artie. Okay, good. I'm not crazy. All right, good.
He's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, like,
he's great in Carnival.
Yeah. I'm like, is that the guy from Pete and Pete? And it was. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, good. Whew. Awesome. Yeah.
The guy from Law and Order SVU, who was only there for a season and almost got blown up by a
pizza. Oh, Adam Beach. Yeah.
Yeah, Adam Beach. Yeah.
It was well cast.
Yeah.
There was lots of good people in it. And I think if you take away a lot of the cast, you probably have a really different film.
Yeah.
Because the script wasn't great. And directing wise, it wasn't a great, tonally, it just wasn't very exciting, and the pacing was rough. So I think you've got a movie that's on the back of Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig.
Yeah, it just kind of happened, I felt like. Yeah. You know, like as I said, I think the first third was great. I thought the last third was great. It was just that middle, getting to the battle, was the problem, you know. But I enjoyed it, you know. It wasn't too bad. How was the crowds in the theaters for you guys?
I saw the middle of the day and a week after it came out, so on a Monday, so it was probably 30, 40.
It was the week you saw this was last week in the opening weekend? Yeah, it opened last Friday.
Right. So I saw it, but after the weekend.
After the weekend. Yeah.
Right.
So I saw it in the middle of the day on Monday. So it was actually more crowded than I thought it would end up being.
Yeah, I saw it. I mean, I saw it on a Tuesday night. I saw it on Tuesday night at like the 10:30 showing, and the theater was half full, mainly kids. It was mainly teenagers and younger, you know, like kind of younger audience. There wasn't. I think I was the oldest guy in the theater at that point. But yeah, I was like, oh, great, teenagers are going to be loud and annoying. As soon as the movie started, they shut up.
That happened to mine too, which is weird.
Well, I saw it on a Friday matinee. It was it was pretty quiet, relatively full audience. There were two guys in, I swear to God, like Tex Avery cowboy hats, like two rows in front of me.
They were
yammering to each other the entire time. And like people around them were like, you know, going back to the, you know, other rows of the theater because they were being so loud. And like every time a name popped up on the screen in the beginning in the credit sequence, they turned to each other and was like, oh, he's in it. Walton Goggins. But yeah, giant like cowboy hats that you would see like at an amusement park, like not like actual. I don't know. And I don't know if it was ironic at all.
You think they were real cowboys?
I think they wanted to be.
All right. So yeah, so Paul, what was your grade? What was your grade for it? 3.5 stars or?
Mine was 3.5, yeah.
Yeah, I'd give it 3.5 probably. 3.5.
Yeah, probably 3.
Yeah.
But that's close.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Ford, if you like Harrison Ford, go see it because it's
that's honestly, what the 0.5 is for. It's yeah. for Walton Goggins and Harrison Ford.
If you like Harrison Ford and you really haven't seen him in a good movie in over 10 years because he hasn't been in one, go see this because he's good in it. You get the old Harrison Ford in it, even though he's 69 years old. You really get the old Harrison Ford.
It really was the old Harrison Ford.
He's in for 69. He's in pretty good shape. He'd probably kick all of our asses.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Although there was one shot of his arm, and I'm like, oh, he's got old man arm.
Yeah, well, he's 69.
Anyway, what can you do?
He would knock you off a plane for that.
He would get off my plane. So yeah, all right, cool. So yeah, it was at the end of the day. I say it was harmless. It was unoffensive and harmless. It was a good, enjoyable time, but it wasn't like, oh my God, we've got to go see this. So
yeah, agree. Which is one of the reasons why I waited till Monday because by the time it came out, you know, I basically heard, you know, got the idea what it was, and so I didn't rush out to see it.
If you're a tourist, it's the horse you want to ride at the Dude Ranch. It's not quite a glue stick, but it's not a, you know, Bronco and like, you know, going crazy. It's all right. You're going to be okay with your breakfast burrito.
It's going to be all right.
It's going to be okay.
I feel like if you ever owned a horse, Paul, you would name it Glue Stick.
Yeah, probably. Elmer, probably.
So are we done with the comic book movies, or there's more?
Conan left? The Barbarian.
Conan the Barbarian is the last one, right?
And they're officially pronouncing it Conan. Multiple characters in the different trailers, Conan. And,
interesting.
Conan the Barbarian later this month, and then...
And then that we'll close the book on 2011 and look forward to the enormous year that next year will be of comic book movies.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Yep. Something else. Wasn't there something else in there?
Sex and the City 3.
No, are they really?
We're not doing that one?
No. Oh, painful. Anyway, all right, cool. So, yeah, go to ifanboy.com where you can read Paul's review of Cowboys and Aliens. We'll see what everybody else on the site was saying about it. And please go and chime in. Let your voice be heard. Share what you thought of it. Partake in the enjoyment of ifanboy.com that we put out every day for you. So if you have any questions or any suggestions or anything like that, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/ifanboy, or over on Facebook at facebook.com/ifanboy. All right, so until well, next time you'll hear us is we'll be talking about comics, but we'll be back here to talk about Conan. When does that come out? Soon?
The 19th.
The 19th?
Okay. Middle of the month.
Yeah, got a couple more weeks. So we'll be back in a couple weeks to talk about Conan with Rose McGowan.
All right.
All right, so until then, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Artie, the strongest man in the world.
Ooh, it's got Ron Perlman. Don't let your baby.